It's always an absolute pleasure to talk to the Secretary of State for the state of Minnesota. Steve Simon is kind enough to join us today as our Democrat of the day. Mr. Secretary, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me.
First thing I got to ask, how are you feeling? You tested earlier this month positive for COVID. Everything going okay?
I'm feeling great. We're all great in our family. We've got two kids. They're all back in school. Fortunately, I suspect, because we're double vaxxed and boosted and all the rest, the effects were minimal on us. So, you know, millions of people are going through this. We have nothing to complain about. Was it an inconvenience? Yes. But because we took precautions, I think, we're in good shape.
We have a pretty big week here. It's caucus week coming up here. And it is... It's interesting because the kind of it's up to the individual precincts, right? How they're going to operate this year.
Well, that's right. In the DFL party, that's the choice. The Republican Party will be in person, and I think the other major parties as well. The DFL party has made the decision to leave it up to the local unit whether they want to be in person or virtual. Turns out, about three quarters or so of the party units have chosen to be virtual. So. For your listeners planning to caucus with the DFL party, that is likely to be their experience.
Now, I've actually had multiple people ask, do you have a portal on the Secretary of State's website that will tell you what kind of a caucus you're going to have?
We do. We have a caucus finder feature on our website. And for your listeners, you can go to mnvotes.org, mnvotes.org, and that will take you to the precinct caucus finder, and you can find out where to go or what to do, depending on your political party and depending on where you live.
For a lot of people out there, I mean, we always have to step back a quick second and just remind people, why don't you explain exactly what the caucus process is here?
Yeah, the caucus process is the process by which the parties choose delegates to their state convention. That's really it in a nutshell. So if the end game is that you want delegates to the state convention, there's a contested race for a particular office, and then the stakes are particularly high, this is what determines it. It starts out at the precinct level, which is the lowest level, and then folks who go to their precinct caucuses next Tuesday could opt to go to the next level if they wish. If there are more people interested than slots, then there's an election to see who will go to that next level. Depending where you live, that could be a Senate district convention. It could be a county unit convention. And then after that, with a couple asterisks, you could go to the state convention and be a state delegate and impact statewide races and endorsements for those contests. So it's really a delegate selection process that starts next Tuesday. But I like to say it's really the ground floor of democracy. And in whatever political party, that's where the process starts.
And that's the process for both parties. That's not just unique to the DFL.
Right. Correct.
All right. You and I have talked about this is kind of the incubator of ideas, the caucus night. This is kind of when you can bring up issues like the party address, correct?
That's right. And again, starting next Tuesday, any person who attends can propose what are called resolutions, which is just a fancy title for a statement. It can be a paragraph. It can be a couple sentences. It can be longer, saying that you believe, as an attendee of the political party, that the party ought to take this position on this issue. And at least theoretically, if there was support in that room where you are next Tuesday, it would go to the next level. It would go to the district or county unit convention. If it got support coming out of there, it would go for consideration by those who make it to the state convention. And then theoretically, the state convention could say, yeah, we're going to add this to the party platform. We think the party should take a position on X, and it should be this position, this way. So resolutions, they're called. And so anyone can offer one next Tuesday.
And these do, you know, as you say, I mean, they can make it all the way to the top here. We've had that happen here in Minnesota.
Oh, absolutely. I think every year there are in all the major parties, the Republican, DFL, and others, there are resolutions. The sort of party platform is being replenished and refreshed every 2 years at least with new items. Sometimes it's subtracting items. Sometimes it's adding items. But yes, these are not static documents, and the parties, generally speaking, do refresh and update their platforms.
We should, we've changed things here in Minnesota over the years. The primary comes up here later on. There's going to be primaries later on this year, correct?
Correct, in August, in mid-August.
So, and so it's a, you know, I know this is a way. I mean, I've seen you at caucus night back when we used to do them in person. I've seen you a few times at caucus because you and I are actually are from, I believe, you know, in the same area. You were my house rep for many years and a very great one too. And so I've seen you out a lot of politicians as well. This is a great opportunity for them to go on out and meet their local constituents. So it's not too uncommon to go to these and see your local senator, your local house rep, and even some of your city representatives as well, stopping on by and saying hi to the constituents.
Absolutely. It's quite common. It's considered pretty essential for those who are local elected officials to show up at their local precinct caucuses to try to make the rounds to as many of the different places as possible within a given building, for example. And so, yeah, you can expect, your listeners can expect that if they go to their precinct caucuses, particularly, and it's a little bit weird this year because in the DFL party, at least, many of them will be by Zoom, but that doesn't mean you won't still get to see those elected officials. They'll just be a square on a Zoom screen instead of meeting you in person.
It's going to be a kind of interesting night. Once again, we do have to remind people, on the DFL side at least, there are going to be a few that are going to be in person, but there are going to be a lot that are going to be remote. And once again, you do have all that information as of right now on which one you'll be apply for, correct?
Correct. MNVotes.org is the website for your listeners. That's MNVotes.org. And you can find out after putting your address in where you could go, and depending on the political party. So if you live in Hopkins, you can type that in, and it'll say, if you want to go to the Republican caucus, here's where you go. If you want to go to the DFL caucus, here's where you go, or what you do if it's a remote caucus, and so forth.
I want to, and we'll remind people of that once again here, but I do want to step back here and I want to talk about something else here that's been coming up that you have been, you'll have to address at some point here. And this is what happened out in Crow Wing County, where, you know, some people once again have pushed the idea of the idea of fraud, allegations of fraud happening in the 2020 election in a county that was overwhelming for Donald Trump. These are generally, you know, Trump supporters who feel, I guess, that every vote should have gone for Trump. But there is this thing, and you and I have had to discuss this a few times, this idea that we do computerized voting in Minnesota. We don't. There are paper ballots. We have all the ballots. People can count the paper ballots if they want to, correct?
Absolutely. That's a point worth absolutely hammering home. Yes, Minnesota is a paper ballot state. That puts us in such a position of advantage. And by the way, there is a bipartisan, ironclad, probably everlasting consensus that that's what we need to do. Sure, we have tabulators that those of your listeners who have voted in person at a polling place, yes, you stick a ballot into the machine. Those tabulators do what they're going to do. But in the end, those paper ballots, something you can touch and feel and see, have to be kept under federal law for 22 months after the election. They're stored, they're preserved. People who believe that there has been misconduct or an error are entitled to, depending on the circumstance, to look at those ballots, to examine them, or to have others examine them. So it's not as if we're punching a bunch of buttons and relying on the circuitry in a machine to tell us what the results are. It's good old-fashioned paper. And I would say this is one of those pretty rare instances in modern life where low tech is better than high tech, right? I mean, good old-fashioned paper, it turns out, is a really reliable way to run an election. Yeah, we have electronic aids, but in the end, it's good old-fashioned paper. And that ought to give people, and I think it does give people, a real sense of comfort and satisfaction and confidence.
You know, Mr. Secretary, I will say this. I've been on the internet. I'd say 90% of the internet is better low tech than high tech. I will just say that. There are more areas of agreement on that than I think we want to acknowledge. But when you get to this issue, and I want to be delicate here, because you are the Secretary of State for the entire state. You're not just for one political party or one political idea. You're the Secretary of State, and you have fought. I have witnessed you fight hard to make sure that every person has access to ballots, that this is a fair system, that this is done correctly. And I applaud you and your office. They have always done a magnificent job. There are elements, though, in our society, including politicians, who are pushing ideas of fraud. And the reality is they what they always leave out of their allegation is that, oh, by the way, I could just go get the paper ballots and count them and prove my fraud was wrong or right, but I don't want to do that because that will cost money and stuff like this. They don't, and they also already know what the result's going to be. Let's be honest. And so the, you know, they push this idea, and then you have what happened out in Crow Wing County, where activists basically harass a county board to basically do something. And even the county board's like, we have no doubt that this election ran correctly, but yet they still are asking for a recount on something like this. We have to make sure there are consequences for irresponsible behavior, and to accuse the Minnesota election system of fraud or even imply that there's massive wrongdoing is wildly irresponsible.
Yeah, look, I mean, the 2020 election was fundamentally fair, accurate, honest, and secure, statewide and in Crow Wing County. And one of the reasons that there's no cause for doing any sort of, you know, audit, forensic audit, or any of the things that some of the activists are talking about, is that Crow Wing County itself did such a fantastic job. I mean, that county in particular, is really one of the best. Excellent election shop. They run a great operation. They are thorough. They are ethical. They are honest. Their work has been checked. They do reviews and audits after the election. We've seen the results of their work. It's almost ironic because that county in particular does such a great job. They're so well led. And so what I and we are really saying is, look, you did a great job. You did what you were supposed to do. You inspired confidence in the system. You went through all the checklists. There were all the avenues of accountability and review that state law requires. And you did them, and you should be able, you, the county, Crow Wing County, should be able to stand by the results, and that's a compliment to Crow Wing County.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just for the sake of your listeners, I always like to remind folks that, you know, our office, the Office of Secretary of State, we don't touch ballots, ever. We don't lay a finger on them. The counting, the processing of the ballots all happens at the local level, at counties and cities and townships throughout Minnesota. So when people attack the integrity of that process, they're really attacking their friends and neighbors. It's the folks you see at the polling place who are not doing it to get rich. They're doing it out of a sense of public service, and there are rules in place and processes in place that make that a very honest, ethical system, one of high integrity. And so all that is done at the local level. Our office never touches ballots. We don't lay a finger on them. It's all done in a very decentralized way, and we should be proud of that. That's really worked well for Minnesota. And just as a reminder for your listeners, you know, in 2020, despite a once-in-a-century pandemic, I'm proud to say that Minnesota, for the third time in a row, was number one in America in voter turnout, despite all the hurdles and hoops and challenges. That tells me that the voters of Minnesota really leaned in. They didn't turn away. And by the way, high turnout was bipartisan, or really nonpartisan. It was up in red areas. It was up in blue areas. If you look at the results, if I can wade into pundit territory here, there are things that Democrats can claim as victories, and there are an equal number of things that Republicans can claim as victories in terms of who won what races where. So it didn't advantage any political party in particular. Turnout was up because people decided they weren't going to let COVID break their spirit. They really felt strongly and passionately about the presidential election, and they leaned in. Third time in a row, number one in the country. In case you're wondering, just shy of 80%.
No.
We were at 79.96% of all eligible voters voted. That's pretty extraordinary.
That's actually really good, and you don't even want to talk about some of the states where that's really low. But you know, they do such a good job here. I do also, and once again, Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon joining us. When you bring up this point about, you know, here we are, Crow Wing County has got activists who are basically, as you just said, calling into question their work. They think that there's some grand boogeyman behind this. No, they're actually calling out the Crow Wing County election officials as thinking there's something wrong there. The reality is that there are concerns about will we have enough election workers coming up for this upcoming election. And I want to give an opportunity. I know that you know, it is something that you can be part of democracy. You can be part of the election system. You know, yes, there are people that are angry, but the reality is don't let the angry people win. We need people to get out to the polls and help work at these election sites so that we make sure that we continue to have these fair elections with high turnout.
Yeah, thank you so much for mentioning that, because, you know, these elections don't run themselves. It takes 30,000, not three, 30,000 100,000 people every election in Minnesota in November to run an election, people staffing the polls, so-called poll workers or election judges, as they're sometimes called. And, you know, we have to be very intentional about it. Now, our office doesn't hire, train, or pay them. That all happens at the local level. But we really want to have the backs of our partners in local government. And we did that in 2020. In so many ways, 2020 was a huge stress test for our democracy. And I'm proud to say that in Minnesota, we passed the test. Despite this being pre-vaccine America, remember, the November election, there weren't vaccines. Despite all that, we had a very safe election, one with obviously high turnout, and one where we did get, despite all the obstacles, the 30,000 people we needed, despite the, you know, potential risks. And just so your listeners know, election judges are not volunteers. It is a paid opportunity. How much they pay depends on where you live. But if you're interested in being an election judge, go to, again, mnvotes.org, mnvotes.org. There is 2 hours of mandatory training. Most jurisdictions have moved that to online or by video or by Zoom. It's 2 hours. You get paid. And it's just a great opportunity to have a front row seat in our democracy. And by the way, if you're 18 and above, there are no geographic restrictions. So if you live in Minneapolis and you hear that they need election judges in Duluth or vice versa, you can do that. You're not limited to where you live. Now, 16 and 17-year-olds can also be election judges. There are some more complicated rules. They have to stay closer to home. But if you're 18 and above, you're not restricted to where you live or the county even where you live. You can go anywhere in Minnesota that will take you and have you. So it's a paid opportunity, a great opportunity, and one that really helps our democracy a lot.
Mr. Secretary, I usually have you on the air during my Democrat of the Day years multiple times because we have a lot of election stuff to talk about, which I like to kind of keep separate from your campaign. I'm going to have you back on the air. We'll talk about your campaign for Secretary of State again another day for sure on that. But I want to make sure we hammer home for the caucuses coming up next Tuesday. What's the website once again for people to find out where their caucus location is and whether it's going to be in person or remote?
That's right. The caucus finder is at mnvotes.org, 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 and you can find out based on your address where to go and your political party where to go or what to do.
Mr. Secretary, it's always a pleasure getting the chance to chat with you. You are probably the most approachable statewide elected official I've ever had the pleasure of chatting with, and I really do appreciate that. And I appreciate how much you care for the people of Minnesota and care for this election system because, quite frankly, not only is it a great high turnout, not only is there integrity, but it's fair, and that is a true testament to you that you have been able to make sure that this election system works for everyone. So I want to say thank you very much for that, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on and have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. Democrat of the Day is the Minnesota Secretary of State, Steve Simon. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.